After spending a number of weeks bouncing around the Gospel of Matthew, today the lectionary takes us to John. And John Scott has just read a passage with which everybody here should be familiar, if not because you've studied scripture and gone to church over the years, but because you may recall there was a man who used to go to sporting events and it would hold up a sign that said John 3:16. Elliot shook his head. That's good. Someone recognizes that. But that was a verse that used to have a lot of resonance in our society, and people knew it. But of course, people knew scripture a lot better in the past than they do today. At least in our service, John 3:16 has assumed some importance. We sang a hymn based on it at the beginning of worship. The choir sang a lovely anthem based on it. But that's all we're pretty much going to spend time-wise on that verse. I'd like to spend some time looking at the story of Nicodemus. And while it may not be as well known as the verse from John 3:16, these stories matter. They're not filler meant to pad the Bible. They have something to tell us, and there's something we can learn from them. So Nicodemus, as we heard, was a Pharisee, and he was a teacher, and he was a leader, and he was curious. So he arranged to hear from Jesus, and to meet him, and to talk with him, and he met him at night. Now, this is significant. We don't know why, but the Gospel of John tells us in the opening verses that in the beginning, the Word came to earth and the Word was light. Jesus is the light. And there seems to be something important about the light encountering the dark. Now, light and dark have had a lot of different symbolic meanings throughout history. And one of them is that light is good and dark is bad. And I want to set that aside right now because in the history of Christianity, the assumption has often been Christians good, Jews bad. And the Gospel of John has often been read in an anti-Semitic light. That's not what's going on here. Of course, we know that Jesus himself was Jewish. But there is no kind of setting two parties apart based on their identity. There is also, though, a sense to lightness and dark that Jesus came to offer enlightenment, to illuminate things for us. And in that sense, he is light, and Nicodemus, who doesn't understand, who doesn't comprehend, is in the dark. Now, some commentators, and indeed a lot of Christians over the years, have tutted at Nicodemus and criticized him for coming to meet Jesus at night and not wanting to be seen in public talking to this radical teacher. But is that really fair? Think about your own reaction or the experience of people you've known who have been presented with some new ideas and potentially ideas that have challenged their beliefs and their opinions. How many of those people have actually sought to engage in dialogue, to have a conversation, to maybe learn something new? And how many people have said, nope, don't need to listen, I'm out of here? And I think there are far more people in the second category than there are in the first. And if you need evidence of that, just turn on cable TV. Nicodemus, to his credit, was willing to engage in dialogue with Jesus, and more than that, to seek him out, to hear what he had to say. Nicodemus recognized that Jesus was a teacher, and he paid him respect, and that was a big deal. Now, we saw how the conversation unfolded between the two. Nicodemus posed a question. Jesus answered a different one. Nicodemus followed up. Jesus led him further into confusion. I think Jesus was trying to push Nicodemus to give him an opportunity to think things through. Now, in the course of this discussion, the famous injunction that one needed to be born again or born from above comes up. And many of you may remember back when Jimmy Carter was running for president and he told the interviewer that he had been born again, that a lot of people did not know what he meant. And Jimmy Carter was referring to this passage from John, that he'd had a conversion experience of his own. But that phrase, born again, which does not appear in our translation and does not appear in the New International Version of the Bible, which is popular in evangelical circles, can lead us astray. The Greek is anothen, and that can be translated to mean either born again or born from above. And there's a critical difference here, and it's not just of words, but it's of deeper meaning. Nicodemus poses the reasonable question about how on earth am I supposed to do this? How am I supposed to make myself small enough to go back into my mother and then relive the experience of birth? Can't do that. It's not possible. But that has an assumption that it's something that Nicodemus would have to do, that he was the one making things happen. Whereas being born from above suggests something else is at work, that God might be in charge of the process. The word that was used for wind, pneuma, also means spirit. And you can imagine the Spirit of God coming down into somebody, perhaps even you, and working on your heart and helping you to gain new understanding, to live into Scripture and the words that we have received from Jesus. Now, some of you may be wondering, what does any of this have to do with Lent? Well, I'll tell you. Believe it or not, we are all, to some degree, Nicodemus. Each and every one of us. And you might say, wait a second. Nicodemus was an outsider. He wasn't a Christian. Jesus wasn't a Christian. And we know from Scripture that we're not supposed to divide us into different groups. But Nicodemus was very well educated. He read books. He studied Scripture. He knew the law. He could probably cite it chapter and verse from memory. But sometimes that kind of knowledge can get in the way of understanding. Nicodemus may well have known the law, but he didn't understand the new interpretation that Jesus was bringing. And how often have we let our attachment to our opinions, to our practices, to what we've always done or always known, get in the way of understanding something that we needed to know? Nicodemus went on a journey, and we don't know how it ended. He shows up a couple of more times in Scripture, but it's interesting what happens in those scenarios. He shows up once and is having a debate, an argument in the Sanhedrin where he's defending Jesus against others. And at the end of the story, it is Nicodemus, along with Joseph of Arimathea, who took the body of Jesus to bury it. Nicodemus had to have let somebody know what he was up to. The Romans weren't going to let him sneak up and take the body down. So he let the authorities know. And even if he didn't finally convert, and we don't know what happens after the gospel ends, we know that he'd move closer to an engagement with and an understanding of Jesus. Now, I'm a minister, in the Christian church. So I can say things like, I wish everybody were Christian. But they're not. At least I would like people to be sympathetic to Christianity. And of course, we have to work to help people be sympathetic through our actions and through what we teach and through what we preach. But I think Nicodemus is a really good example for us to hold before us during this season of Lent. And here's the insight I'd like to share with you this morning. And if you received my daily reflection this morning, you can tune out for a couple of minutes. But if you go on a journey of inquiry and exploration and questioning things and listening to other ideas and other opinions, exposing yourself to new perspectives, at the end of the day, you can wind up right back where you started. So you might say, well, then why should I go anywhere? There's a difference between standing pat and being stagnant and being spiritually dead and being willing to go out into the world to encounter new people and new ideas and new perspectives. Because when you wind up back where you started, you still will have new information and new perspectives and new experiences. And it's not always a comfortable thing to do. But I'd like to think that our beliefs are strong enough that they can withstand some testing. One of the things I loved about going to divinity school at Harvard is that there were people from all sorts of denominations and indeed religious traditions. And they didn't think like I did. And as I've joked, after 3 years, I still came out an Orthodox Trinitarian Christian. But I had an opportunity to see how other people thought and how other people dealt with things. And I hope to develop an appreciation for articulating a positive vision of our faith rather than a negative one. So actually, I'm going to contradict something I said earlier before. I'm going to say a little bit more about John 3:16. And that is that people who often lift that up to us in public often don't share the entire message there. It's, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes should have eternal life. And that's the end of the story. So if you don't believe, well, have a good time in hell. But what about what follows right after that? That Jesus came to offer salvation to everyone. That is a critical part of the message too. And I honestly believe that God loves everyone. Now, it doesn't mean we get a free pass. You can't just walk out of the church and go sin and then think, well, so what? God loves me, so I'm okay. God has some expectations for us. We're going to mess up. But that's what Lent's for, to apologize, to make amends, to turn anew to God. So my hope is that during this season of Lent and indeed beyond, each of us will be a little bit more like Nicodemus and that we'll be willing to encounter new ideas and perspectives and arguments. We may not change, but that's okay. But in the process, we will make it more likely that we will be born again from above.